Dear brothers and sisters, a very good morning to each and every one of you. We thank God for this opportunity that God has given to us that we can gather together to worship Him, to glorify His name, and also to listen to the Word of God. God has been so wonderful. We thank God for the time of Christmas because it reminds us of God's faithfulness, and this God is true to His Word. Today, we want to spend some time looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55, and I've entitled the theme as, He has done great things. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ has done great things in our life, and He continues to do great and wonderful things in our life. Let's turn to God in prayer and ask Him to help us as we spend some time listening to His Word. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the Word that is given to us. Truly, O God, You have done great things in our life. Father, we are reminded of Your goodness, of Your faithfulness, of Your forgiveness, and also Your protection in our lives, Father. We pray, God, that You'll continue to help us as we read Your Word, as we meditate on Your Word. Help us, Lord, to cling to Your promises. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, if I were to ask you, what is your favorite Christmas song? You know, many of you would say, you know, I don't have a Christmas song, but I have Christmas songs. And these times are wonderful time to sing Christmas songs. So some of us will list, you know, these are the songs that I love to sing. You know, today, particularly in this season, if you go to any place, the malls or any institution, you begin to hear songs of Christmas and also of the holiday season. It's joy in the air, and the music of Christmas is everywhere to be found. Even if you're going to go to churches, you realize there are a lot of churches that has carol worship services, just singing, glorifying God of who God is in their life. You know, songs or psalms or worship songs are not new. We look at the passage that was just read to us today. We see that Mary is blasting with joy. She comes before the Lord Almighty and says, the Lord has done great things in my life. She's just praising God. We sense a lot of excitement in her. She says, my spirit rejoices in the Lord God, my Savior. What a joy. What a powerful song that Mary is singing. Not only Mary is singing, we also see the angels were there singing. And the shepherds were just praising God for what God has been doing in their lives or wants to do in their life, my friend. Simeon is also another great example. And man, or you know, he was just praising God when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ when he carried the baby Jesus. Zechariah was also seen singing praises to God for His goodness, for being mindful of us. And today we want to spend our time looking at the song that Mary sang. It is a reminder of who God is. It also tells us who we are in the sight of God. And unfortunately, you know, in this time of Christmas, we tend to hear a lot of songs out there in the malls. But sadly, many of these songs does not really, you know, focus on the true meaning or reveals why Jesus came into this world. But as we spend some time looking at this word of God, that is, you know, the song that was sung by Mary, it reminds us who God is. So Mary starts by saying, my soul magnifies the Lord. You know, when she hears the good news that Jesus is going to be born through her, that she is the chosen one, she's excited, she's amazed, and she shouts and she says, my soul magnifies God. In other words, she says, you know, God is great. God is great in everything. And that's how she felt. You know, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. I believe that is the best news, my friend. When Christ comes into our life, When the Lord becomes our Savior, when He becomes our Lord, that is the best thing that can ever happen in our life. It is not money. It is not wealth. It is not the things of this world. But when Jesus becomes our Savior, when Jesus becomes our God, you know, we rejoice, and we will truly rejoice because He continues to do great and wonderful things in our life. And so Mary, in her song, she reminds us in verse 49, she says, "For the Almighty One," or "the Mighty One, has done great things for me." He has done great things for me. What are the great things that God has done in the life of Mary and also in the life of us? And I think today, when we look at the song of Mary, I believe all of us would, you know, would also rejoice, will also say, yes, truly, God has done great things. So Christmas is a time to recognize, to acknowledge, and to praise God for the great things that He has done in our life. The first thing that we look at the song of Mary, you know, Mary reminds us that He has done great things because God is merciful and just. She says, God is merciful, and that is a great thing. God is just, and that is the great thing that God has done in my life. Let me read from verses 47 onwards. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." In 48, she says, "For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant." And that's what Mary says. She says, God is so merciful because God has been mindful. In other words, God has looked at my need. He knows what are the things that I'm going through in my life. Because Mary was a poor person. And she says, God was mindful of me. He has looked at me, of the humble state of His servant. And then she continues by saying, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." And then she speaks. She says, "His mercy extends to all, to those who fear Him." And so Mary is speaking about that God is merciful. Christmas is a wonderful season, my friend. But it's a season that reminds us of the mercy of God. That God came into this world. Why? Because of love. Because He was mindful of each and every one of us. The things that happens in our life, the needs that we have, the difficulties that we face, the many challenges that we encounter each and every moment, the struggles that we are in, He is mindful. And He wants to be merciful to us. And so Mary says, you know, God has been so merciful. When Mary says that God is merciful, she recognizes that she's a sinner. She recognizes that she needs God. Even though she's going to give birth, she's going to be the earthly mother, but she sees herself as someone unworthy, that she is in need of a Savior. She needs God's mercy. She needs God's forgiveness. She wants God to look at her and to be there for her. And she sees God as her Savior, as the Lord. Yes, my friend, Christmas is a wonderful time that reminds us of the mercy of God. And today, we need to ask ourselves, have we experienced God's mercy? Have we come to Him and said, "Lord, I need You"? During the time of Christmas, you know, we are blessed with so many things. That's wonderful. So many gifts. That's so wonderful. I think the best gift that we can ever have is having the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, having Him as our Lord. And that's what Mary says. He is merciful. And then she also says in verse 50, His mercy extends to those who fear Him. God is so wonderful and loving, my friend. On the same note, this God is a just God. His mercy extends to those who fear Him, to those who recognize His greatness, to those who see Him as the Savior, as their Savior, and those who say, "Lord, I need You and I want You and I want your forgiveness in my life. Yes, today, Christmas is a time that reminds us that we need to say, Lord, I just need you. I need you like Mary, O God. I want to experience your mercy. You're just in my life. I believe, you know, during this time of Christmas, you will take some time to give yourself to God and ask God's presence to be felt in your life. The same note, when I look at the song, it's so rich. Let me tell you, it's a powerful song that was sung by Mary. In verse 49, she says, "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. The Mighty One has done great things." You know why? Because this God is a holy God. And so she says, God is worthy of our praise because He is holy. He is holy. Firstly, she says that this God is worthy to be praised because He is the Mighty One. In other words, in a very simple term, she's saying, you know, you can't compare God to anyone. Who is like you? Like the psalmist says in Psalm 71. Like, who is like you, O God, who has done great things? And that's how she sees God. She says, Lord, you're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be honored. Lord, you're worthy to be recognized the King because you are the Mighty One. Who is like you? Who have been so mindful of me, mindful of my stage, mindful of my struggle, mindful of the pain that I'm going through in my life. Yes. This God is a God who's worthy of our praise because He has done mighty things. And she also says, He's worthy of our praise because God is holy. Yes, my friend, that's a powerful reminder that this God is a holy God. When you look at the word holy, you know, it has a lot of meaning. One of the meaning is to be set apart, or it can also mean perfect. But what Mary is trying to say when she uses the word holy here, that this God is worthy to be praised, is worthy to be worshipped, and He's worthy to be honored as the King and the Lord of our lives. When you look at this scene, you know, during the time of Christmas, one of the things that you tend to see, that people were just worshipping God. Right, when the angels were singing glory to God in heaven, what did the shepherds do? They just worshipped. They were just running with joy. There was worship in their lips. The wise men were seeking for the newborn King. When they found the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, they gave themselves and they worshipped Him. Mary worshipped Him. When Simeon saw the Lord Jesus Christ as a baby was brought to the temple, he carried Him and he praised the Lord. You know, every time you see, you know, the birth of Jesus, the scene that surrounds, there's worship because God is worthy to be worshipped. Yes, my friend. This God is worthy to be worshipped because He's the Mighty One. He's holy. He's almighty. And He expects holiness from our life too. He wants us to spend eternity with Him. And today, when we see Jesus, do we have a heart of worship? Do we see Him as the Mighty One? Do we see Him as the Holy One, the Almighty, the All-Powerful God, that when we come, we bow down? That's why the Scripture reminds us, every knee shall bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When you look at Scripture very carefully, you know, every time people encountered God or the Lord Jesus Christ, they just went with bended knees and said, Lord, here am I. Isaiah, it's a great example. The Apostle Paul said, who are you, Lord? What a wonderful reminder. During the time of Christmas, let us always take time to worship Him. Let worship be found in our lips. in our homes, in our hearts. Lastly, let me conclude by looking at the rest of the lyrics. You know, Mary was singing so powerful. And when I read this passage, I realize she sees that only God can save us. That's the message of Christmas. Only God can save us. And let me read in verse 42, she says, He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. God has lifted up the humble. God has lifted up those who seek Him, my friend. He is able to bring down rulers from their thrones, but God is mindful of the poor, the lonely, the people who come seeking Him. It is only He is able to save, not the kingdom of this world, but only God is able to save us. And in verse 53, she says, He has filled the hungry with good things. He is the one who is able to provide. He's the one who's able to satisfy. He's the one who's able to bring joy and happiness in their lives. He's able to fill the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. And she continues by saying, He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He's promised of ancestors. In other words, He is the one who is able to help us, my friend. Not only His servant Israel, but even today, He is the only one who is able to help us in whatever situation we might be in. God is able to help us, and only God can save us. Mary is not only speaking about the past, but she's also anticipating what God will do in the future. I believe God not only helped us in the past, but only God can save us now. I think all of us know the times that we are living in. It is only God who is able to save us, my friend. Until and unless, as like Mary, we recognize His Lordship. Like Mary, we recognize that Jesus is our Savior, that we need His mercy. We need His presence in our life. Until and unless we realize that He is the one who's able to do everything. Yes, God invites us, my friend, to recognize that. And so Mary speaks about it. It's only He's the one who is able to save us. Today, nothing is going to save us. Things of this world can save us on a temporary basis. But only the Lord Jesus Christ can help us, not only in this world, but also bring us to the place that we can enjoy with Him forever. That's eternity. And that's what, you know, Mary is speaking about. She anticipates what God will do through the Messiah in the future. Yes, my friend. Today, during the time of Christmas, let us be reminded not only the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, but let us be reminded that Jesus is coming back again and we will spend eternity with Him because this God wants to save us. So what should we be doing during this time of Christmas? We have the good news of the gospel with us. We know the true meaning of Christmas. We know why Jesus came into this world. What should we do with the good news of the gospel? Let me share a story with you in closing. It's about Fritz Kreisler, a well-known famous violinist. He was known for the way he played. You know, he earned fortunes from concerts and all that. At the same note, he was a great person. He was so generous that he gave most of his money away. But there was a time in his life that he discovered there was an exclusive violin. And he wanted to buy it. But unfortunately, because he was a generous man who gave his money away, he was unable to buy this particular violin. And so, you know, that was his dream, to get hold of this violin and to play. And he saved up some money. After a while, he was able to save the money that was needed. So he went to the seller to purchase the violin that he was longing for all this while. Beautiful instrument. But to his dismay, the seller told him, you know, this was sold to a collector because it was a prized item and this collector wanted it to keep for themselves. You know, Chrysler did not give up. He wanted to get hold of this violin. So he went searching for the collector. And he had a conversation with the collector. And, you know, the collector said, you know, I'm not going to sell this violin to you because this is a valuable item and also prized item. And I want to keep it in my showcase. I want to just leave it with me. No, Chrysler was so disappointed. When he was about to leave the premise, he asked the collector, he said, could I play the instrument once more before it is consigned to silence? Can I just play once? So the collector was so gracious. He said, fine, you know, you can just play once and then it will be mine. No, Chrysler took the violin, he started playing. Oh, that was amazing. The music filled the room. There was some kind of awe. The collector, you know, was amazed the way this man was playing with this violin. You know, to his surprise, the collector came and told Chrysler, I've no right to keep that to myself. I've no right to keep to this violin to myself. It's yours, Mr. Chrysler. Take it into the world and let people hear it. Take it into the world and let people hear it. Yes, my friend, today you and I have no right to keep the gospel to ourselves. God has given us the joy. He has done great things in our life. He has been mindful of us. He's worthy to be announced to the world. The world needs to hear that this God is mindful of them. This God is the Holy One. This God is the Almighty One. He continues to do great and wonderful things. And this God is the only one who's able to save us. Today, the world needs to hear the gospel. And you and I have the gospel with us. Let's take some time to ask God to help us, to be a blessing to someone during this time of Christmas. Let's bring glory to God by sharing the good news of the gospel, because He has done great things. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. O God, we come into Your presence, O God, with heart full of gratitude. Thank You, Lord, for the great things that You've done in our lives. And we pray, God, that You'll use us, O God, that others will know that this God can do great things even in their lives too. Use us for Your glory. Use us for Your kingdom. And bless us, O God, to be a blessing. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, we come to another important moment, a moment that we can fellowship with God around this table. This is the last communion for the year. And I believe as we come together as a church, we are reminded of the great things that God has done in our lives. Christmas is a wonderful reminder who God is, His love, His mercy, His goodness upon our lives. And so as we gather together to partake in this Holy Communion, let us come with that spirit of gratitude. Let us come just reflecting on the things that God continues to do in our lives. Let me read Paul's writing to the believers in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul reminds the importance and the significance of the Holy Communion. Let me read from verse 23. He says, "For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" Yes, Christmas is a time that reminds us of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the same note, it also invites us, encourages us to wait for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's gather together to partake. Let's take a moment to be silent in the presence of God and remember the many things that God has done in our lives. The body of Christ given for us. Let's partake. This Jesus is coming back, the blood of the new covenant. Let's partake with joy. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You because You're worthy to be praised and You're faithful in Your words. We thank You once again for filling us with Your love. We bless You, O God. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.